right. It's Fanacek S5 E3, the Boof Conundrum Part 2. So I am taking an insane amount of time and energy in trying to recast Boof and solve what I think is Teen Wolf's biggest problem and why it's not cemented in history as one of the great 80s teen comedies of all time. I don't know. This is either really valuable and you guys are enjoying it or a colossal waste of time. I guess it's my guess would be that it's a mixture of the two. As predicted, I've been getting blasted with Facebook messages reminding me of all the actresses I forgot. So a couple things. First of all, not one of you sent me someone that wasn't on my radar. So some of them will be coming up in future categories, like some categories today. But also some of them that you sent me didn't meet the criteria, which the biggest things are these two things, is that they had to be working actors in 1984, meaning although some of these are a pipe dream, they had to realistically have a chance of getting into the casting room, right? I mean, so that's it. So if they weren't a working actor as of 84 when the movie was being cast, I didn't let them into the categories. Also, they had to be born between 55 and 65, right? Now, I made a few exceptions, but not one of you sent me someone that I hadn't already at some point crossed off my list. I'm not kidding. I started off with like 400 actresses and narrowed it down to these. So this is the Boof Conundrum Part 2. Let's recap what happened in the Boof Conundrum Part 1. Our first category was Blast from the Past. And we looked, and those are actresses that had faded out, kind of has-beens, people that we had known from TV and movies prior to 1984 and 85. And they were Linda Blair, Dana Plato, Marie Osmond, Erin Murphy, Simonetta Stefanelli, the Brady Girls, Maureen McCormick, Eve Plum, Susan Olsen. We also looked at the Little House Sisters, or Little House Girls, rather. Melissa Gilbert, Melissa Sue Anderson, and Allison Orngram. We looked at the Little Darlings, Tatum O'Neill and Christy McNichol. Honorable mention, we talked about the Cooper Sisters from One Day at a Time, which were Mackenzie Phillips and Valerie Bertinelli. And our winner from Blasts from the Past was Melissa Gilbert. The second category we talked about was the similar vibe, but better, which I think I'm going to rechange. I'm going to change that to I Can't Believe It's Not Boof. Anyway, I like that. That was Dana Delaney, Daphne Zuniga, Cynthia Gibb, Gabrielle Carteris, Joyce Hauser, honorable mention, Lori Petty, and the winner was Daphne Zuniga. Then the third thing we looked at was the Ethan Wayne. These are people solely that should have been cast, maybe just on name recognition alone. They were related to someone famous. Of course, they were Dee Dee Pfeiffer, Tracy Reiner, Tracy Nelson, Tawny Welch, Talia Balsam, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and the winner was Tracy Nelson. So far in our upcoming, in part three, our winner's bracket, if you will, our final championship round, we will see Melissa Gilbert, Daphne Zuniga, and Tracy Nelson competing. But today we look at several more categories as I pull them up. I'm excited about this. We're going to start off doing the right thing, folks. Got to do the right thing for Boof, the right thing for Teen Wolf, the right thing for society. A little bit of diversity. This category is called the Teen Wolf So White. Teen Wolf So White. In honor of Jada Pinkett Smith when she was boycotting the Oscars with Oscars So White. One of my favorite Chris Rock jokes. He said, Jada Pinkett Smith boycotting the Oscars is like him boycotting Rihanna's panties. He wasn't invited. And you got to wonder if that's why he got slapped a few years later by her husband, Will Smith. That's a whole other category. I think the Smiths are batshit crazy. But again, whole other conversation. Teen Wolf now is not without its problems. Upon my like 3,000 rewatch, it dawned on me that there's only one person of color in this whole damn film. And it's a pretty stereotypical one at that. Scott, right? He's the wolf. He's strolling out the halls of his high school like he's king shit, and he stops for a quick urban handshake and a backspin with what I can only assume is the only black kid in this whole damn town, right? So luckily, this town's only black guy is well-versed in both jive and breakdancing, or else he wouldn't bring much else value to the movie, any other value to the movie. But what if Boof was a diverse character? Imagine the possibilities it opens up, right? Teen Wolf could have marketed it to a more diverse audience, and its legacy would have certainly aged better if Boof were a person of color. So let's explore a few young ladies who could have added a little culture to Boof. So our first actress we're going to talk about today, Angela Bassett. Born in 1958, you know her from Boys in the Hood, What's Love Got to Do with It, Black Panther, which I've never seen. I'm not really a big Marvel guy. So Angela Bassett is legit, right? She received her master's degree in fine arts from the Yale School of Drama. She would later be nominated for multiple Oscars and Emmys and would win a Golden Globe. So yeah, she's overqualified for the role of Boof, right? But in 1985, she's just a young actress getting her start with only a handful of TV credits on her resume. So maybe starring alongside Michael J. Fox in a theatrical release wouldn't have sounded too bad. We'd have to make a few script changes. The name Boof would have to go. It's cute, like on an innocuous little Susan or city, but it comes off as disrespectful when applied to this town's only black girl, in my opinion. So maybe Imani, right? So I like the name of Imani. So from Boof to Imani. Also, I don't want to play into stereotypes, but could a strong black Imani really have a huge crush on a guy that is so shitty at basketball? So that's going to have to change. Or a guy whose dance of choice is that Wolf Arms thing. Remember the Wolf? He's doing Wolf Arms. I don't know that a black woman, a strong, proud black woman's into a guy that crappy at basketball or who dances like that with the Wolf. So damn, now that I think about it, we need to replace Michael J. Fox too. Because honestly, it's like a much better movie with an all-black cast, which is actually worth taking a look at. Think about the movie with an all-black cast. But in all seriousness, Teen Wolf's legacy would likely be held in higher regard with Angela Bassett as Boof slash Imani. Sadly, though, her legacy would suffer. Would she land the role of Trey's mom in Boys in the Hood only 6 years later if her sole claim to fame was Teen Wolf? You know, I don't know. So it may have fucked up her future career. Breaks my heart, but we should all just move on, right? Angela Bassett probably would have screwed herself over by being Boof. Nay, Imani. All right, our next actress up. This is exciting. I think everything's exciting, admittedly, but I like this a lot. Michelle Yeoh. Michelle Yeoh, born in 1962. You know her from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Everything Everywhere All at Once. 2023 would have been magical had Michelle Yeoh landed the role of Boof. The 95th Academy Awards, held on March 12th, 2023, proved to be a nostalgic evening. Brendan Fraser was revived from obscurity when he won Best Actor for The Whale, right? Which, by the way, I just recently watched. What a depressing fucking movie that is. I couldn't even get through it. The Whale? That was awful. And I don't mind depressing, but that was too much for me. Anyway, but he was revived, like I said, from obscurity when he won Best Actor for The Whale. Ki-Hui Kwan, having been trapped in obscurity himself even longer than Brendan Fraser, won Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Social media was abuzz with the resurrections of both Link and Short Round, right? Link from Encino Man, Short Round from Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, for all you fuckers who don't know 80s movies. I mean, social media was loving it. It shined a light on their previous roles in films like School Ties, The Goonies. It was magical for their fans. And later in the evening, Michelle Yeoh won Best Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. It was a nice moment. It was a nice moment. It would have been an amazing moment had she been Boof in 1985. Every headline, every tweet, blog post, etc. Do people still blog? I don't know. But every headline, tweet, blog post would have been about Encino Man, Short Round, The Goonies, Indiana Jones, and Boof. Teen Wolf would have had a renaissance, the likes of which had never been seen. Right? And by any renaissance, I mean a slight surge in streaming. Right? That's what I mean by a renaissance. You get a couple extra streams. So maybe I'm just being dramatic. But it would have done more for Teen Wolf in one night than Susan or City had done in almost 40 years. An audience, I weep. I weep for what might have been. Incidentally, her credits as of 1985 consisted solely of Hong Kong action films, which opens up tons of possibilities if we incorporate that into Teen Wolf. Like, cause she'd done like a lot of Jackie Chan stuff and all that in Hong Kong. Maybe Boof kicks the shit out of Scott during that whole 2 minutes in heaven scene, or we add a fight scene between Boof and Mick. Think of the international marketing opportunities. Again, I weep. Oh, Michelle Yeoh, that's a good pick. Okay, moving on. This one gets interesting. Okay, All right. Roll up your sleeves, kiddos. I'm going to educate you on some stuff. This one's Vanessa Williams. Vanessa Williams, born in 1963, known as Miss America 1984. She had a 90s pop career. She was in the movie Soul Food. She was an Ugly Betty, Desperate Housewives. Vanessa Williams has had a storied career. Maybe too storied. All right. Casting Vanessa as Boof is a tough sell. First off, she's far too beautiful. I mean, she was the reigning Miss America when they were casting Teen Wolf, okay? So it would take more than some glasses to fix this problem. And then there's the September 1984 issue of Penthouse magazine. Yikes, here goes. Okay, here we go. Prior to the Miss America pageant, Vanessa had done a series of nude photo shoots. More specifically, she'd done a series of nude lesbian sex act photo shoots. And as often happens, the photographer sold the photos to Penthouse after Vanessa became famous. Penthouse, of course, released the photos not just in any issue, but in their epic 15th anniversary issue. So Vanessa was forced to relinquish her Miss America crown, and then to make matters worse, it turns out that this particular issue of Penthouse, God, this is so bad, it featured in the centerfold Tracy Lords. It was later revealed that Tracy was only 16 years old at the time. So it became illegal to sell or purchase this issue. It was all a big mess for Vanessa Williams. I mean, honestly, it's probably great for her career. I think I speak for a lot of folks when I say that Vanessa Williams is probably the only former Miss America that most people know by name. I can't name any others, right? After the initial shaming, the public actually became sympathetic towards Vanessa. And again, she had a great singing career and acting career. In the 90s, she really took off. That being said, the mid-80s were a really tumultuous time for her. And it wouldn't have been great for the character of Boof. A little side note I want to talk about, and I've mentioned this before. My first job was at a video store in the Bronx, Videotronics. Great little mom and pop store. Awesome horror section, and it had one of those old school porno rooms in the back. I loved that job. I have a very clear memory of my boss coming in one day and having me go through all the pornos to remove any Tracy Lords movies now that it had been revealed that she was underage while working in porn. Oh man. Think about it. I'm 14 years old and I'm boxing up a bunch of Tracy Lords pornos. It's all been downhill from here. I mean, that's the best job ever. By the way, a few of those pornos may or may not have made it into my bedroom. You know, I'm not stupid. I stole some of that stuff. Okay, next actor that we need to discuss is Sabrina LaBeouf. You may not know the name, but you definitely know her work. Born in 1958, she's known mostly from The Cosby Show. Okay, so this is a very serious candidate. Sabrina has a great look and the right acting tone for the role of Boof. Even better, she was starring in The Cosby Show, the only TV show that had higher ratings than Family Ties. So 1984, that makes her really, really attractive. Oddly, she was a late addition to The Cosby Show. So her character, she was the oldest Huxtable child, Sandra, and wasn't even introduced until like the 10th episode of the first season. They even had made specific references to only having four children when they decided to add a fifth. There was even a joke, like I remember one time Dr. Huxtable asks Claire, do you know why we had four children? Because we didn't want five, was the joke. Or something like, why did we have four kids? Because we didn't want five, that kind of thing. So really specific about it. They added a fifth oldest daughter who had, I guess, they sold it as she'd previously been away at college. And it was kind of like the opposite of what happened to Richie Cunningham's older brother, Chuck. That guy disappeared. The Cosby Show, they made a daughter up here. So although a classmate of Angela Bassett's at Yale School of Drama, Sabrina had a limited TV movie career and is known mostly really for her work on The Cosby Show. Regardless of, you know, look, Bill Cosby and his place in history now, the show was a juggernaut and Sabrina's association with it would have been really great for the marketing, I think, and the continued legacy of Teen Wolf. Sabrina LaBeouf, more like Sabrina LaBeouf. Nailed the joke. Sabrina LaBeouf. Get it? Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Next candidate is one I love. Holly Robinson Peete, born 1964. You know her from 21 Jump Street. I'm excited about this pick. Holly Robinson Peete came later. So he's a quarterback, right? I think for the Eagles. I forget. Rodney Peete? I think she married a Rodney Peete. Okay. Anyway, Holly Robinson was Officer Judy Hoffs on one of my all-time favorite TV shows, 21 Jump Street. She's a talented actor, talented singer. In fact, she sang the theme song to 21 Jump Street. She's also a beautiful girl next door type, and she would slip, I think, really easily into the role of Boof. Holly had a very limited resume at the time and likely, you know, would have jumped. 21 jumped. She likely would have jumped at the opportunity. And then, of course, her later success on the super hip, really cool 21 Jump Street would have lent some street cred, I think, to Teen Wolf and likely boosted its VHS rentals, cable airings, that kind of thing. She landed another hit show in the 90s when she did 101 episodes of Hanging with Mr. Cooper. So unlike Susan or City, she continues to work today. And I think it would help keep the memory of Teen Wolf alive and the memory of Boof alive. And So I'm really all in on Holly. I think it works well. I think her look works well. Her resume works well. The 21 Jump Street makes it cool. So I'm all in on her. Whoopi Goldberg, next candidate. I know what you're thinking. What? No, born in 1955, and you know what she's. You know her from a million things. I'm not going to list them. And I know. This is an odd choice, but in the spirit of diversity, should we at least explore opportunities with everyone? Isn't that what inclusion means? I think so. We're all about inclusivity here at the check. That's a cool way of saying Fanacek. Okay, I'll say this for Whoopi. She's no stranger to unorthodox names, right? So Boof would suit her. The name, the movie not so much, right? I think the name would suit her, not the movie. Make no mistake, right? Whoopi was unattainable by the time they started casting Teen Wolf. In 1985, or 84 rather, she had a hugely successful one-woman show on Broadway. It was simply called Whoopi Goldberg. The following year, she would win a Grammy for the recording of that show. Also, by the mid-80s, Whoopi Goldberg is like a household name. She's a successful comic. She's gained worldwide recognition for her partnership with Robin Williams and Billy Crystal as part of that charitable organization, Comic Relief. In 85, she stars in one of the most critically acclaimed films of the year, right? That's Spielberg's The Color Purple, for which she gets a Best Actress nomination. So it's all coming together for Whoopi. Now, on sheer talent alone, right, she can make the role of Boof work for her and would likely add some much-needed comedy, honestly. She's so fucking funny. That said, she's not the right fit, and quite frankly, the role's beneath her. It really is. Over the years, Whoopi would join, you know, one of the most elite clubs in all of entertainment, EGOT. And although I love Teen Wolf is no place for an EGOT. And of course, that's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony winner. She's an EGOT. There's only a handful of them in the world. But I will say this, Teen Wolf did outperform The Color Purple at the box office. So there, Whoopi, eat a dick. That was rude. That was awful. But Whoopi Goldberg's too big a star. Can't get her. Too talented. Jasmine Guy, another good pick. Deep cut by Fanacek. I'm proud of this one. Jasmine Guy, born in 1962. You know her from A Different World. This is an exciting pick, right? Jasmine Guy was a dynamo on A Different World and essentially carried the show for 143 episodes as that Southern Belle Whitley Gilbert. Now, here's the backstory. Supposed to be a supporting role, right? Whitley, playing the antagonist, right, to the show's lead, Lisa Bonet. So famously, though, Lisa got pregnant with Lenny Kravitz's baby, which is now Zoe Kravitz, right? So Lisa Bonet gets pregnant with Lenny Kravitz's baby, completely pisses off her boss, executive producer, Bill Cosby. And so she's quickly dismissed from the show, right? So rather than recast the lead, Jasmine Guy just stepped up and it became her show. It went from supporting, you know, kind of antagonist role to her carrying this fucking show. And interestingly, Jasmine Guy's season one co-star, Marissa Tomei, will be popping up in a later episode of Fanacek, because she too could be a Boof candidate. So Marissa Tomei, of course, was in season one of Different World and then left. Now, when casting began for Teen Wolf, the only credits that Jasmine had to her name were 7 episodes as a dancer on Fame. So she would have had killed, I think, to be in this movie, right? All she was like kind of a backup dancer in Fame. Jasmine would have brought like a lot of elegance, I think, to the role. Jasmine would have brought a lot of charm to the role of Boof, and then 2 years later, she would have exploded in A Different World. I don't know. I'm all in on it, man. I think this is a good pick. All right, more diverse candidates. Ray Dawn Chong. Ooh, I like Ray Dawn Chong. 1961 is when she was born. You know her from Commando and from being Tommy Chong's daughter, right? So I know, right? Ray Dawn Chong should have been in the Ethan Wayne section since she's the daughter of a celebrity, right? With the name Chong. Quite frankly, I'm trying to beef up the diversity section. So it's tough out there. I have to appeal to all the woke people, but a lot of these actresses could be in more than one role. I mean, let's face it, Whoopi Goldberg can be in my upcoming Show Her the Money category, but instead I had her here. Ray Dawn Chong could have been Ethan Wayne, but I have her here. I've always liked Ray Dawn Chong. Commando was big in my role when I was a kid. I must have watched it like 500 times. Also, She's in this really interesting segment. I should talk about this real quick. She's in an awesome segment in the 1990 movie, Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. It's a kind of a, it's a movie with like three or four short films inside of it. She's in one of the segments that's, it's about a guy who's in a bar. And he's like accosted one evening by a gargoyle. Like the gargoyle comes in and kills everyone at the bar, but keeps him alive. And the gargoyle tells him that if he ever tells anyone what he saw that night, he would be killed. Right. So later that evening, the man meets a woman, Ray Don Chong. They fall in love. They start a family. Years later, he tells his wife about the night years ago with this gargoyle. And then you guessed it. Turns out that she and the kids are gargoyles, gargoyles. Now they have to kill him since he broke his promises. So he loses everything in an instant because he couldn't keep his trap shut. It's better than I described, I promise, but really cool segment in that movie. And every time that movie's on cable, I'll watch it just for that segment. Anywho, by 1984, Ray Don Chong is a veteran actor, right? Teen Wolf would have been icing on the cake for what was already kind of an amazing 1985 for her. In 85, again, she's in The Color Purple. Wow. The aforementioned Commando. She has four episodes of Saint Elsewhere. And curiously, she appears in three Mick Jagger music videos. Mick Jagger. So I had to look into this. I'm like, why is she in so many fucking Mick Jagger videos? I'm assuming they're banging, right? So I looked it up. She claims, there's a whole, I went down a rabbit hole on this thing. Jesus. She claims that they had a sexual relationship when she was only 15. What? I mean, come on. We talked, mentioned woke people. Come on, woke people. Let's go get Mick Jagger. What's that about? How can she publicly come out and say, I was 15 and had a sexual relationship with Mick Jagger. No one's going after this guy. Anyway, yikes. Time to make it about me, though, as I tend to do. I met Ray Don's dad, Tommy Chong, one time. I think it was in 2005 or 2006. I was an intern at the Second City in Hollywood. It was my first night of interning, and the theater, I was kind of turning off the lights, fixing the chairs, and I went into the lobby that leads into the Hollywood Improv near the bathrooms, and standing right outside of the bathroom was Tommy Chong. And let me tell you something, Tommy Chong behaves exactly like you'd expect. He was like, hey, dude, what's in there? And I was like, oh, that's Second City. He was like, oh, cool. And he talked to me for a few minutes. Really nice guy. He walks away, and I'm like, holy shit, I think that was Tommy Chong. And sure shit, someone came over like, hey, I saw you talking to Tommy Chong. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, Hollywood's so cool. My first time interning, and I'm talking to Tommy Chong. Anyway, that is Ray Don Chong. We have an honorable mention for the Teen Wolf So White category, and that is Robin Givens. She was born in 1964. You know her from Head of the Class, Boomerang, A Short Violent Marriage to Mike Tyson. I don't know about Robin Givens. I cannot imagine her playing a high school girl, first of all. She seems like she was a sophisticated sex kitten by the time she's like 4 years old. And Robin Givens just has that look about her. Even in Head of the Class, it was hard to see her as a high schooler, right? She has like a Black Widow quality to her. This is the same lady that kept Eddie Murphy away from Halle Berry in Boomerang. That's the caliber of sex appeal she has, right? So she's worth mentioning, but she's wrong for the part. So the Teen Wolf So White Award goes to, wish I had a drum roll. I had to think long and hard. I had to roll up the sleeves, kiddos. Holly Robinson Pete. Holly Robinson Pete, congratulations. I will see you in a future category. Or in the finalist tournament, rather. Now, the next category is the no wolf, no part. So I'm guessing you're confused, right? In an attempt to get close to Pamela, for all you who haven't seen Teen Wolf in a while or ever, in an attempt to get close to Pamela, our young hero, Scott, he decides to join the school play. It's the over-the-top drama teacher, whose name is Kurt, he writes a role specifically for the wolf. It's one line, but hey, there are no small parts, right? Just small actors. And he's a small actor. He's like 5'5". Later, though, when Scott has the epiphany that he doesn't need to be the wolf to be awesome, he shows up to play rehearsal and defiantly declares that he will play this role without the help of the wolf. Kirk's response, amongst many, is no wolf, no part, right? So honestly, I don't blame Kirk. So in keeping with Kirk's logic, this category is a list of actresses that I would consider for the role of Boof, but only if they did it in one of their iconic characters. This will be some fun, playful what-if type of shit, so just enjoy it, all right? This is fun Fanacek, not serious Fanacek. first actress up in this part, Frances McDormand. Oh, I love Frances McDormand. 1957. You know her from damn near every Coen Brothers movie. I think she probably is in every Coen Brothers movie. This one gets me excited. I love her. Again, I love her. She crushes every role she takes on. She's a legend. But she wasn't a legend yet in 1985. Nope. In 1985, she only had a few roles under her belt. Her first film was 1984's Blood Simple, of course, written and directed by Joel and Ethan Coen. Later that year, she would marry Joel Coen, and that's why, for those of you who didn't know, that's why she's in every damn Coen Brothers movie, because she's married to Joel Coen. In 1985, she bangs out a ton of work, though, including guest spots on Hunter, great show, Hill Street Blues, another great show, and a couple of forgettable movies. I see no reason at all, she can't squeeze in a few weeks' worth of work on a little project that I like to call a Teen Wolf, right? So let's assume she auditions and gets the part. Then let's imagine a small rewrite in which Boof inexplicably wears a sheriff's uniform and dons a Minnesota accent. That's right. I want Boof portrayed as Frances' character in Fargo, Marge Gunderson. Marge Gunderson, she married son of a Gunderson. I would literally sell my house and help fund this version of Teen Wolf if I could. The possibilities are limitless, right? So check this out. Instead of a van, Stiles would drive a tan Buick Sierra, which would allow Boof to continuously yell, "Tan Sierra! Tan Sierra! My car! Tan Sierra!" It's a Fargo reference. I love Fargo. Here's another one. When Scott isn't at the opening tip-off of the final basketball game, Boof can yell, she can like exclaim, "Oh, for Pete's sake, he's fleeing the basketball game! He's fleeing the basketball game!" Remember the fleeing the interview scene? Anyway, I'm having too much fun with this. We can make Boof pregnant. We'd absolutely need to add in a wood chipper scene, right? So, I mean, and I don't even know what Buscemi was doing in 85. I wonder if we can get Buscemi. I think he was still a firefighter back then. Oh my gosh, it's limitless. But best of all, she goes on to win tons of awards in the coming decades, and we could always remind the world that it all started out with Boof Gunderson there. So that's my first one. Oh God, I'm making myself laugh just because I think Fargo might be one of the... I love a lot of movies. Fargo might be as close to perfect a movie as ever been made, in my opinion. I love that movie so much. I love Marge Gunderson. So that is Frances McDormand playing Boof as Marge Gunderson. The next one is Jack A. Harry. And I think a lot of you might not know Jack A. Harry. She was born 1956. You really know her from 227. And then later on in the 90s, she was on a sitcom called Sister, Sister. Jack A. Harry was simply Jack A. in the 80s, though. She was a one-name actress, and she fucking could sell it, man. Not a lot of women can, or actors for that, men for that matter, can fucking do the one-name thing. She's a one-namer, right? So she was Jack A. in the 80s. Her character in 227 was Sandra, and it was one of my favorite characters as a kid. Like, she was this curvy, over-the-top, nasally voiced sex kitten. She charmed her way into every man's heart, every man's wallet. She stole every scene she was in on 227. That's saying a lot, right? When you're on a show with Marla Gibbs. And Marla Gibbs is no slouch. I mean, Marla Gibbs stole every damn scene she was on back in the day on the Jeffersons as their maid, Florence, right? Side note, I used to do impressions of Sandra to make my grandmother laugh. And thank God we didn't have video cameras back then. At least my family didn't. I used to do impressions of Jack A as Sandra to make my grandmother laugh. I'm not going to do it now. I also, my first impression ever as like a three-year-old was Archie Bunker. So there you go. It tells you a lot about me. But how funny would it be to have Sandra from 227 in the role of Boof? Like, you're shuffling down the hall in a tight dress and heels. The wolf wouldn't even know what hit him, man. Pamela wouldn't either. The teachers wouldn't. The principal wouldn't. Scott's dad wouldn't. I think it would be kind of a mess. But anyway, that is my nomination. Jack A. Harry playing it as Sandra. Hello, Mary. That was a small piece of the impression. Next up, this is a good one. This is one I'm proud of. And this is actually not really me even joking. This actually could work. Mary Stuart Masterson. So Mary Stuart Masterson was born 1966. You know her from Some Kind of Wonderful, Fried Green Tomatoes, Benny and June. She was kind of a go-to actor in the 90s. Mary was born outside of the 1955-65 range. I get it, but it's my book, and I'm making a fucking exception, right? This is my book, my podcast. Piss off. All right. 1987's Some Kind of Wonderful is a classic 80s teen flick. And there's a lot of backstory here. So it was written by John Hughes as kind of a revenge flick against another movie he had written, Pretty in Pink. So follow me down this road. According to Hollywood lore, John Hughes wanted Andy to end up with Ducky at the end of Pretty in Pink. However, right, the studio flexed their proverbial muscles and they forced a rewrite, which Andy ends up with Blaine. So pissed off, Hughes wrote an almost identical story in which the antagonist ends up with the quirky friend, the protagonist ends up with the quirky friend. That story became Some Kind of Wonderful. So here's the gist of this movie. Keith, played by Eric Stoltz, has been working and saving money for years so he can eventually be the first in his family to go to college. His father is all about him going to college. Along the way, though, he's been obsessing over the hottest girl in school, Leah Thompson. Right. So meanwhile, though, while this is all going on, his tomboy drummer, best friend, her name is Watts. That'll come back in a second. Played by Mary Stuart Masterson, has been secretly in love with him the entire time. Lots of hijinks and drama ensue. And he ends up with the pretty tomboy best friend. Now, there's a few things of interest about Some Kind of Wonderful. First of all, Howard Deutsch directed both this movie and Pretty in Pink. Right? So I guess he was pissed about the Blaine ending too, because he followed John Hughes down both roads. Also, while filming this movie, he fell in love with Leah Thompson and they got married. She's been married to Howard Deutsch ever since. That's kind of neat. There's also something weird going on here with Some Kind of Wonderful. There's a weird Rolling Stones thing going on here. Leah Thompson's character is named Amanda Jones. That's also the name of a Rolling Stones song that's actually played in the movie, Amanda Jones, right? Watts is a drummer, right? And of course, the drummer for the Rolling Stones is Charlie Watts. He passed away, I think, just less than a year ago. And then the main character is named Keith, right? Like Keith Richards. But the title of the movie is based on a Grand Funk Railroad song. So what the fuck, John Hughes? I commit to the Stones thing already. I don't understand. Lots of Rolling Stones thing except for Some Kind of Wonderful, which is Grand Funk Railroad. Anyway, other interesting things here. Eric Stoltz and Leah Thompson star in this movie. Leah was Marty's mom in Back to the Future, so she's worked with Michael J. Fox, has chemistry with Michael J. Fox. Eric Stoltz was replaced by Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future, so it's all very incestuous. So I thought all that kind of stuff was interesting. However, I'm rambling, as I tend to do. The point I wanted to make is that I would love to replace Boof with Watts. A short-haired, angry girl, always carrying drumsticks. I think she could have chauffeured Scott and Pamela to the bowling alley. You'd get that reference if you saw Some Kind of Wonderful. This is simply a better movie with Watts, I think. So instead of Boof, I just think get rid of the character altogether. Make Watts, Mary Stuart Masterson as Watts, cute, pretty, short-haired tomboy. For some reason, always has drumsticks in her back pocket, and that's who Scott ends up with. That's it. I'm big on that. Okay, we got to move on though, folks. I'm rambling. Next up, bet you did not see this one coming. There's a lot to unravel here. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Don't hit stop on the podcast yet. Follow me down this road. Born in 1961. Of course, she went from Seinfeld, The New Adventures of Old Kostrine, Veep, Christmas Vacation, right? So Julia Louis-Dreyfus is actually a legit choice for the role. Now, she's pretty, tiny, amazingly talented. In 1984, she's been at SNL for 2 years at that point. And based on interviews I've read, she was not having a great time. I don't see any reason why her agent could have persuaded her to leave SNL in 84 for a role in the new Michael J. Fox movie. I just don't see why that wouldn't happen. Plus, I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus would crush it and elevate this movie dramatically. So everyone wins, right? Everyone wins. Wrong. That was a trick question. And I bet a lot of you failed. Not everyone wins. It's actually disastrous, and I'll tell you why. Had she left SNL in 1984 at the end of season 9 to do Teen Wolf, she would never have met the new writer that joined the writing staff in season 10, Larry David. And then she wouldn't have gotten Seinfeld. And then she would have died lonely, naked, and broke. Or maybe she would have worked out fine for her, I don't know. But she certainly would have missed out on Seinfeld, okay? And guess who the next likely candidate was? Rosie O'Donnell. That's true. We almost had that dominatrix, callback to last episode. We almost had that dominatrix pain in the ass in the role of Elaine. That almost happened. Rosie O'Donnell was almost Elaine Bennis. Larry David was like, hey, I used to work with this girl on SNL that I like a lot. They brought her in. She got the part and the rest is history. I mean, I don't know. It would have tanked Seinfeld, I think. And then there would have been no Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that can't happen. I need Curb Your Enthusiasm. So, see what we've done by playing God and recasting Boof? David Vanacek. Damn it. It's best to leave Julia Louis-Dreyfus out of this whole Boof thing. It just is. But let's fantasize. Let's fantasize about what Boof could have been had Julia Louis-Dreyfus played it as any one of her famous characters. So, maybe an Elaine Bennis version of Boof refusing to sleep with Scott because he's not sponge-worthy. Come on, huh? That's a good one. Or maybe every time she sees the wolf for the first time, she can shove him in the chest and exclaim, "Get out!" You know how she always does that? She pushes Jerry. Anyway, it's more of a visual thing. How about a Selena Meyer version? A rewrite could incorporate Boof being like student body vice president, right? And here's a quote from Veep. This is true. So imagine Boof now being voted like student body vice president. "I'm the vice president of this school, you stupid little fuckers. These people should be begging me. That door should be half its height so that people can only approach me in my office on their goddamn motherfucking knees." I think that's kind of fun. Finally, though, why not a Margot Chester version of Boof? Margot, of course, from Christmas Vacation. "And why is the carpet all wet, Scott?" "I don't know, Boof." I don't know. You'd have to work. You'd have to weave it into a conversation there. But I kind of like a Julia Louis-Dreyfus Boof multiverse, right? Multiverse. That's kind of the new thing now, speaking of Marvel movies, right? Anyway, I can dream, right? But let's pick a winner. The No Wolf, No Part award goes to Frances McDormand as Margie Gunderson. She married Son of a Gunderson. All right, Frances, I'm going to see you in the finalist tournament. Congratulations. The next category that we're going to talk about today, we have two more categories to get through today. I call it the Show Her the Money. This next group of actors were way out of reach, way out of reach. Their careers were on fire, and they wouldn't even consider a part in Teen Wolf. Unless, of course, she threw some serious moolah at them. Moolah tends to change the conversation. So this is basically a fantasy list, but let's have some fun with it. Go big or go home, as they say. Our first actor up is the insurmountable. Is that a word, insurmountable? Deborah Winger. Born in 1955, best known from Terms of Endearment, An Officer and a Gentleman, Urban Cowboy, and then kind of leaving Hollywood to do shit on her own terms. She's pretty famous for that, too. So, yeah, this would never happen. Teen Wolf had a budget of, I believe, of $4 million. A 1984 version of Deborah Winger would have needed almost all of that money just to read for the part. And not that she was reading for parts anymore. At this point, you know, parts are being offered to her. She'd be great in the role. I think her look is perfect, although maybe she's a touch too old. She would bring a real desperation to the character that is like holding a torch for a boy that keeps ignoring her. Plus, they could give Boof cancer, and Deborah Winger would have the entire theater in tears. Like, she knows how to do that shit. So she'd be great. Let's look at her career, though. By 84, she's coming off of Urban Cowboy in 80, An Officer and a Gentleman in 82, and Terms of Endearment in 83. She gets Oscar nominations for those last two, right? So yeah, this wouldn't happen. But can't you just see a scene where Boof and Scott are two-stepping? Or how about, you know, Scott yelling to Coach Finstock, "I have nowhere else to go"? Fun little Deborah Winger story. So during her heyday, I remember reading this. This is so funny. I'm probably getting some of the facts wrong, but follow me. So during her heyday, she earned the reputation for being difficult, right? And she famously did not get along with co-stars like Richard Gere. She and he did not get along in An Officer and a Gentleman. She also really did not get along at all with Shirley MacLaine on the set of Terms of Endearment. So there's a story that's been going around for years about her arguments with Shirley MacLaine on the set of the movie. Apparently, at one point, she lifted up her dress and farted on Shirley MacLaine. Now, when asked about this on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, she did not deny it. She didn't deny it. I'm not sure if I'm repulsed or a little turned on. I don't know, but she lifted up her dress and farted on her. Anyway, that's Deborah Winger. Not going to happen. Next up in the Show Me the Money, Show Her the Money, rather. Daryl Hannah. Daryl Hannah, born 1960. Known best from Splash, Wall Street, the Kill Bill movies, Volumes 1 and 2. Daryl Hannah, a little bit of Fanichek history here. Daryl Hannah is the first naked lady I ever saw. How about that? It was 1983. My friend Scott's mom brought a few of us to the movies to celebrate Scott's birthday. I was only 6 years old. I was enjoying the antics of Tom Hanks and John Candy. And then Daryl Hannah was running on the beach and I thought my head was going to fucking explode. I just remember being blown away. I mean, it went from this comedy scene with John Candy, like I said, and Tom Hanks. All of a sudden, she's naked on the beach, this naked mermaid. So she set the bar high. Surely did Daryl Hannah. So did Scott's mom, for that matter. For years, I'd be invited to these birthday parties only to be confronted with pizza and cake. And I'm like, where's the naked mermaids, right? But anyway, Daryl Hannah is way too tall, too blonde, and statuesque to be Boof, right? Not that she would have wanted it. I mean, she's coming off of Blade Runner, Splash. She's coming off the Pope of Greenwich Village with Mickey Rourke. The only saving grace here is that she's kind of hippie-ish, so maybe she, like, money isn't, like, a motivation to her. I've read that she has one of those cars that runs on used French fry oil, so I don't know. Maybe if the Teen Wolf producers had planted some trees or something, she'd agree to do it. Maybe commit to cleaning up a beach. She's pretty quirky, so who knows. Interestingly, though, she would star with Deborah Winger in the very forgettable 1986 movie Legal Eagles, so there's that. Our next Show Her the Money is... This is a good one. Phoebe Cates. Oh, boy. Phoebe Cates. 1963. Fast Times, Ridgemont High. There's like a generation of men whose entire sexual awakening is related to the character Linda Barrett in the pool scene in Fast Times, Ridgemont High. It's simply known as the scene. It is the most paused scene in the history of VHS tape. More men have studied this scene than have studied the fucking Zapruder film. I'm telling you that you have no, they, like, it's the Torah. People are studying this thing. Now, as you can imagine, her quote by 1984 is probably pretty high. In 84, stars in Gremlins, right? And it's written by Chris Columbus, directed by Joe Dante. It's going to be hard to grab her between takes to discuss the possibility of a teenage werewolf movie. She would need to get those papers, son. You have to pay her. And she, even then, she likely, that probably wouldn't swing the boat for her. Even if it did, I'm not sure her look is quite right for Boof, because she will always permanently be Linda Barrett, right? Pamela cannot compete with this version of Boof. I'm sorry. Pamela, not even allowed to use the same damn restroom as Phoebe Cates. So why not lean into that? Let's get her creative. What if we combined showing her the money with a little no wolf, no part? So here's my pitch. Phoebe Cates is Boof, right? But she's only ever wearing a red bikini, and she's always climbing out of a pool. It's always in slow motion, and the top always comes off. This is misogynistic, and it makes no sense for the story. I get it. But that being said, Teen Wolf just went from being like the 27th top grossing film of 85 to maybe cracking the top 10 of the decade. Like, I'm telling you, if every scene move is in a red bikini, slow motion coming out of a pool, and they're removing the top of the bikini, there's no more popular movie in the history of cinema than Teen Wolf at that point. Incidentally, this strategy, which I'm now calling the Linda Barrett, it works for any film. The Exorcist, Yentl, Charlie Brown Christmas, you throw her in there as Linda Barrett, those films are all exponentially better. Little side note, do yourself a favor. Oh God, I love this. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I've certainly talked about it at home. My wife is tired of hearing this stupid story. Do yourself a favor and Google Gremlins, the worst Christmas story ever, okay? What it's going to take you to is the scene. Now, this is the scene where Phoebe Cates' character in Gremlins is opening her heart and describing why she hates Christmas. It might be the funniest, like, but not on purpose, scene in the history of modern cinema. Spoiler alert here. Her alcoholic father died in the chimney trying to pretend he was Santa. He had been missing for several days, and I quote, "It was snowing outside. The house was freezing. So I went to try and light up the fire. That's when I noticed the smell." I know I'm going to hell, but that scene makes me giggle. Her alcoholic dad dressed up as Santa tried to go down the chimney. He got trapped in the chimney. They couldn't find him for days, and he died in there. And that's why she doesn't like Christmas. I don't know. Google it, man. It's funny. Okay, and the Show Her the Money Award goes to, you're right, Phoebe Cates. Come on now. Congratulations, Phoebe. We will see you in the finalist tournament. One last category we're going to do today, and I call this category Buy Low, Sell High. This group of young ladies was just, they were just about to take off. Had the Teen Wolf casting director been kind of like a Gordon Gekko and sent out a young Bud Fox to identify a sure thing, Teen Wolf's trajectory could have been limitless. Money never sleeps, pal. Money never sleeps. That's all Wall Street references, by the way. Go rent Wall Street if you haven't seen it. Stop making me teach you shit. See good movies, people. All right, first one of the Buy Low, Sell High is not really, in the traditional sense, an actor. But this is a heavy hitter, guys. Susanna Hoffs. Susanna Hoffs, born in 1959. You know her from The Bangles. Now, I'm going to get shit for this pick because Susanna Hoffs is a musician, not an actor, but follow me down this road. I promise it's leading somewhere fun. First off, she technically has a 1978 acting credit in a movie called Stony Island alongside future stars Dennis Franz, Misak Taylor. Misak Taylor is from Designing Women. And fellow booth candidate Ray Don Chong. So there you go. So she's technically a working actor at this point. Now, about the Bengals. Like, their first studio album came out in 84. But they wouldn't be world famous until their next album in 1986, Different Light. And that featured the hits Manic Monday, Walk Like an Egyptian, and all that shit. Susanna Hoffs was the breakout star of the band. I'm not sure if most men even realized there were three other ladies on stage with her. I mean, no one even paid attention. Even Prince was famously obsessed with her. He wrote Manic Monday, by the way, for her. He was obsessed, right? So assuming her touring schedule could allow it, casting her in a 1985 movie would be catching her right before she exploded, and it would have instantly sent droves of young men to the theater and later to the video stores. Now, here's proof. In 1987, Susanna Hoffs dipped her toe into the acting pool by starring in The All-Nighter, and it was alongside yet another booth candidate, Dee Dee Pfeiffer, ironically. No one knew what this movie was about. No one cared what this movie was about. Comedy, drama, good, bad, who fucking cares? All that mattered was that she was in it, and more importantly, the poster and VHS box featured her in a bikini. This is as simple as it gets. For years, and I say this as a guy who worked at a video store in the 90s, for years, this movie, that I can only assume is a piece of shit, was rented all the time at every video store in the free fucking world. We never kept it in stock in Videotronics ever. It was some shit B movie from 87. Now, imagine the Teen Wolf VHS box featuring Michael J. Fox and Susanna Hoffs in a bikini. Right? Cha-ching! Instant classic. Instant classic. Here's an interesting side note. Susanna has been married to director Jay Roach since 1993. He's a big-time director, and he directed, amongst many other films, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. For years, I was always confused and honestly curious about why Susanna Hoffs kept popping up in those little musical interstitials in Austin Powers. If you go back and watch, you'll see what I'm talking about. For every scene break, they kind of cut to like a 60s band and 60s dancing before going to the next scene. And if you look, you'll see Susanna Hoffs is in that band. And I always wondered, like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, why is she in there? Now I know. Her husband directed the movie. And I can rest my weary mind. All right, next candidate. By the way, this category of the buy low, sell high is arguably the second. I think there's really two categories that are super, super important when looking at this. First of all, one is Blast from the Past from last week, right? Blast from the Past, because that is taking a name actor, someone who had already been famous, and putting in the movie. This one's also critical too, in taking someone who's about to explode. So I have a lot of candidates in here. I'm taking this category really, really seriously. The next buy low, sell high, this is a good pick. I was proud of this one. Heather Langenkamp. Heather Langenkamp, born 1964, most famous from A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, and then several sequels. She was also in that, which we'll talk about, that sitcom, Just the 10 of Us. Now, by 1984, director Wes Craven had already made his mark like in the horror world, right? With movies like The Last House on the Left, which was remade with Jennifer Lawrence, by the way. But Wes Craven did Last House on the Left, The Hills Have Eyes, Swamp Thing, which is more camp than horror, but it's in that world. Despite this track record, though, I can't imagine that anyone realized what a juggernaut A Nightmare on Elm Street would become. This movie exploded on the scene. It helped create basically the video rental boom of the 80s. That's a fact. Nightmare on Elm Street helped create the video rental boom of the 80s. Its leads were Robert Englund, who will forever be fucking Freddy Krueger, an unknown Johnny Depp, well done, by the way, and playing the role of the final girl was Heather Langenkamp. By the way, if you don't know what Final Girl means, that means you're not a horror fan and you don't know. Go look it up. But the final girl in this was Heather Langenkamp. Now, Heather Langenkamp is like a perfect storm of boofiness. First, she was an unknown with a bare resume when they were casting Teen Wolf, right? Perfect. Second, her look is spot on. Pretty, yet bookish. She's the girl you take home to mom. She is. That's who Boof is. And third, Teen Wolf was released 9 months later. Right, his video stores were struggling to keep A Nightmare on Elm Street in stock. Restless teens, having been denied at the video store, would have to get their Heather Langenkamp fix at the local cinema via Teen Wolf. It would have been perfect. And as an added bonus, Heather would continue to work fairly steadily, right, making appearances in several more Freddy Krueger movies and doing a few years on the Growing Pains spinoff, Just the 10 of Us. This is a good one, guys. This is not a throwaway. Heather Langenkamp, this is an important category. And here comes another monster one. This is like the murderer's row right now. Elizabeth Shue. Elizabeth Shue, born 1963. You know her from Karate Kid, Adventures in Babysitting, Cocktail, Oscar winner for Leaving Las Vegas. Remember a few seconds ago when I was saying that no one could have predicted the success of A Nightmare on Elm Street? Well, that goes double for The Karate Kid. Who would have guessed that a movie with such a dumb fucking title, first of all. Story about that. Ralph Macchio, when he read for the part, was like, I hope this is a working title. I can't imagine they're really going to name this movie The Karate Kid. I mean, we accept it now, but think about it at the time. A really fucking stupid title. But who would have guessed that a movie with such a dumb title, starring Al from Happy Days and the fucking dead kid from The Outsiders, would prove to be one of the defining films of the decade? The Karate Kid was the fourth highest grossing film of the year, earning over $90 million in domestic box office. So just so you know, in 2024 dollars, that's $264 million for a movie with Pat Morita and fucking Ralph Macchio. I mean, that's unbelievable. 4 years later, and we're still watching these characters, right? On Netflix's Cobra Kai, these phrases, wax on, wax off, put them in a body bag. They're now a permanent part of our vernacular. No doubt about it, this movie is a stone cold, bona fide classic. And the little lady that started this great big karate war, like a Southern California version of Harriet Beecher Stowe, was an unknown Elizabeth Shue. Apparently, she took a break from Harvard to shoot this movie. So I don't know what makes her smarter, getting into Harvard or having the sense that this movie would be worth a shit, all right? So casting Elizabeth Shue would have been a win for both she and the movie, right? Looking at her career, I'm talking about Teen Wolf, because when you look at her career, her lull in the 80s would be in 85 and 86. That's her only lull. So imagine this. She explodes on the scene in 1984, follows it up with Teen Wolf in 85, and then skyrockets into 80s immortality with Adventures in Babysitting in 87 and Cocktail in 1988. And oh, by the way, she would then rejoin Michael J. Fox as his girlfriend in Back to the Future 2 in 89, Back to the Future 3 in 1990. And of course, this would all culminate in her Best Actress Oscar win for 1996's Leaving Las Vegas. Teen Wolf's boof would be an 80s legend and a 90s Oscar winner. The defense rests, Your Honor. The defense rests. I'm very proud of myself. You should see me smiling at myself. All right. I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't also mention her Girl Next Door charm. She has a knack for playing pretty girls who are kind and attainable. That's not easy to do because Elizabeth Shue on looks alone could be Pamela easily. I think she's better looking than Pamela. But she could also be Boof because she has that quality of like you believe that this pretty girl would be nice to the nerdy kid. She would date a fat kid. That's just who she seems to be. She's pretty and likable, and just like her, she's just like Susan Ercity. If Susan Ercity were also likable, singer, I made fun of Susan Ercity there. But anyway, I think this is a great, great pick. But man, I got more great picks coming. Here's one. Helen Slater, born 1963, known from Supergirl, The Legend of Billie Jean, The Secret of My Success. I debated about this pick. I put her on the list, took her off. I was like, I don't know about this, right? I'm not sure who would have benefited more from Helen Slater playing Boof. Helen Slater or Teen Wolf? I don't know who wins more. In the end, I landed on the cliche of basically a rising tide rises all ships. Or is it boats? Rising tide rises all boats, all ships? Both. I think it rises both. Both. Okay. Also some fish. Rises everything. Okay. Helen Slater. Let me paint a picture for you here. Helen Slater was a rising star that fizzled out quickly, and I'm not really sure why. For all I know, she might have pulled back on the throttle after, you know, blasting onto the scene in 84. Despite working steadily for decades, she's no longer A-list by like as early as 1990. She's not even an A-list actor anymore. So her rise to fame started with 1984 Supergirl. Although profitable, this movie didn't make many waves at all on the big screen. However, it became a staple at the video store and on cable. Right, this thing was always on. I mean, along with like movies like Beastmaster and The Dark Crystal, I feel like Supergirl was on HBO about three times a day when I was a kid. I had HBO for about a month when I was a kid. So all of my 80s HBO knowledge comes from this one month in like 1985. Anyway, excuse me. So I feel like it was on three times a day, right? This would have been a perfect time for the Teen Wolf casting department to call Helen in and offer her the role of Booth. Because in 1985, Helen was about to turn up the heat with the legend of Billie Jean. So let's go on a bit of a tangent about this one and discuss this. Okay, the legend of Billie Jean. This might be one of the earliest cult classics for children that I can remember. I don't know if any adult saw this movie in the 80s, but damn near every kid my age saw it. So it's the story of a teenage girl and a younger brother. They go on the run if they're falsely accused of robbery and murder. Along the way, they become like national heroes to young people everywhere because they kind of become like a symbol of innocence and independence. Honestly, in tone, it reminds me of like a Thelma and Louise for teenagers, so kind of put it that way. Of course, Helen Slater played the heroine, Billie Jean, a very young Christian Slater, like 13-year-old Christian Slater, played her brother. In my opinion, this was the first movie of the 80s generation that was for us, for kids. It was a fuck you to adults. It was a fuck you to corruption. Admittedly, it didn't age well, and it's not a very good movie, right? But Helen Slater in her underwear and cut-off t-shirt was absolutely iconic. And I don't mean that just misogynistically. I mean, like, it was iconic because she has long hair. She's a typical girl next door in the beginning. And as her fame rises and as she pushes more and more against corruption and crime, she gives herself like a short pixie cut, you know, wears the cut-off t-shirt. I mean, she was iconic. Like, she was sexy, but also like a badass. You don't want to fight her. So now, imagine if Billie Jean had come out alongside a version of Teen Wolf with newly rising star Helen Slater as Boof. I think both movies win. We get two very different versions of Helen Slater, both likable, and these movies become a double bill at every drive-in movie theater across the country, right? Want some icing on the cake for that? Well, in 87, Helen would star alongside Michael J. Fox as his love interest in The Secret of My Success, and they would prove to have great chemistry. Right? And it could have been marketed as a Teen Wolf reunion. The Secret of My Success, bringing back Boof and Scott from Teen Wolf, which of course in turn, you know, shines a spotlight on Teen Wolf. Maybe the VHS rentals go up. Maybe the HBO showings go up. So everyone would have won as Helen, with Helen Slater as Boof. Oh, that is Helen Slater as Boof. Want another heavy hitter? This one's pretty huge. This is epic. All right. Jennifer Grey. Jennifer Grey, y'all, born 1960. You know her from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and, of course, Dirty Dancing. I think before both of those, she did Red Dawn. Jennifer Grey is a cautionary tale. So check this out. In a 2022 interview with Vanity Fair, she stated that her two nose jobs almost ruined her career. And I'm like, almost? I think it did. So I clearly have been lacking respect for the impact, I think, that a nose makes on a face, because Jennifer Grey was unrecognizable after changing her nose. I could have dated her for several months. Eventually asked her to move in with me. Of course, popped the question, start a family with her. And after 34 years of marital bliss and two grandchildren, I still would have had no fucking clue that she was the chick from Dirty Dancing. Like, that's how fucking unrecognizable she was. You wouldn't know. Sadly, Jennifer claims that she felt pressured to reduce the size of her nose after being offered very few opportunities after Dirty Dancing. That sucks, because Dirty Dancing was a monster hit. She carried the film. No disrespect to Swayze, but I think Jennifer Grey carried that movie. And you tell me even after that, she can't get opportunities because of her face. So it sucks, but still, I think she should have told everyone to fuck off and just roll the dice with the face that God gave her, because she was pretty girl. I don't care what anyone, she was a pretty girl, majorly talented, and clearly able to carry major films. So alas, what's done is done, and it's none of my business anyway. What is my business is finding a new and improved Boof, and Jennifer Grey just might fit the bill. Jennifer comes from a long line of successful entertainers. Her grandfather was comedian and musician Mickey Katz. Look him up. And her pops is the Academy Award-winning actor Joel Grey. Look him up. I think he recently came out as gay, actually, not too long ago. After a lifetime being closeted, I guess. By the time Teen Wolf is being cast, Jennifer is starting what would prove to be an epic 80s run. In 1984, she works in three big movies. Reckless with Aidan Quinn and her fellow Boof candidate Daryl Hannah. She also has Red Dawn with future co-stars Charlie Sheen and Patrick Swayze, and another Boof candidate, Leah Thompson, right? Which we'll get to Leah. The Cotton Club, or she does that, well, that's Francis Ford Coppola's epic fucking period piece flop, but it had an amazing cast. It starred Richard Gere. But yeah, this was Francis Ford Coppola's first ever major fucking flop. But anyway, those are three big movies that she does in 1984. So surely Miss Grey could have found a few minutes in the midst of all this work to meet with a casting director and graciously accept the role of Boof, right? 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 Well, I'm guessing they didn't call her, and it's likely she wouldn't have answered anyway, but I can dream, right? Now, imagine Jennifer takes the role of Boof, which she wouldn't have wanted, but imagine she takes it. She's a perfect Boof. She's pretty, but not overtly sexy like Pamela. She's also smart and tough, and I can see her pushing back on Scott and all of his newfound wolfy swagger, right? She wouldn't take that shit the way Susan or City took it, right? Best of all, she was about to explode. Teen Wolf is released in 85. Jennifer appears in 1986's monster hit Ferris Bueller's Day Off, in which she steals every scene she's in. Which, again, that's saying a lot considering how great that cast was. But whenever Jennifer Grey's on that fucking film, in that scene, you're not looking at anybody else. I will tell you that, right? She steals her scene. And this is all small potatoes, though, compared to what would happen to her in 1987. A little romance film that takes place in the Catskills of the 1960s called Dirty Dancing. Holy fuck. Holy fuck, this movie was huge and still is. Every year, this is true, every year thousands of fans head to Kellerman's Resort, which in real life is Mountain Lake Lodge in New York, to see the exact spots where Johnny lifted Baby in the water, or where Baby danced by herself on that bridge, or the dining hall where apparently Baby doesn't sit in the corner, or the cabin where that blonde chick gets an illegal abortion. That was a lot just to get to the illegal abortion joke. Sorry. Anyway, Baby is Jennifer Grey's defining role. No doubt about it. Boof would never have usurped that. I mean, hell, Jeannie from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is her number two defining role. Boof would have been her number three defining role, probably. But here's the thing. There would be no more defining roles for Jennifer due to the nose debacle. So therefore, every time this legendary actress would be discussed, Baby, Jeannie, and Boof would no doubt be mentioned, which instantly elevates this film's legacy. It would forever be in the same conversation as Ferris and Dirty Dancing. Whew. One honorable mention for the buy low, sell high category. And that is Jennifer Beals. Born in 1963, she was the star of Flashdance. Flashdance was a mega hit in 1983 and made Jennifer Beals a household name. For about 7 minutes. I'm not sure why, but she proved to be forgettable, and I doubt the role of Boof would have been helped much. So I had to mention Jennifer Beals because she had a monster 83. It would have been newsworthy for her to get Boof in 85 or come out as Boof in 85, but the legacy wouldn't have been helped because Jennifer Beals disappeared. So the winner of the Buy Low, Sell High Award goes to, this is unprecedented in Fanacek Boof history, a three-way tie. Heather Langenkamp, Elizabeth Shue, and Jennifer Grey. So congratulations, ladies. We'll see each of you in the finalist tournament. So let's recap what we just talked about today. First, we had the Teen Wolf So White category. A little bit of diversity. Angela Bassett, Michelle Yeoh, Vanessa Williams, Sabrina LaBeouf, Holly Robinson, Pete, Whoopi Goldberg, Jasmine Guy, Ray Dawn Chong. Honorable mention, Robin Givens. And the winner was Holly Robinson Peake. The No Wolf, No Part Award. Frances McDormand, Jack A. Harry, Mary Stuart Masterson, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And the winner was Frances McDormand as Marge Genderson. The Show Her the Money Award. Deborah Winger, Daryl Hannah, Phoebe Cates. The winner was Phoebe Cates. The Buy Low, Sell High Award. Susanna Hoffs, Heather Langenkamp, Elizabeth Shue, Helen Slater, Jennifer Grey. Honorable mention, Jennifer Beals. The winner, three-way tie. Heather Langenkamp, Elizabeth Shue, Jennifer Grey. That has been the Boof Conundrum Part 2. If you like the podcast, you know what to do. Email me, fancheckpodcast@gmail.com. I'm always on Facebook. A lot of you know that. That's where I get most of my communication. I'm Real Fanacek on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use it. Fanacek Podcast, @FanacekPodcast. Yeah, hit me up. I got stickers. I've got some new stickers in. I got some Fanacek merch. Not that I'm selling. I'm giving this shit away, man. I thank you for listening. I always love your input. I'm sure I'll get a lot of messages now. Some of you will feel vindicated that I picked your actors. Some of you will try to point out the things I've missed, but don't get me wrong. I will remember. Please, I'm coming back with a part three. More actresses to be discussed, and we will finally solve this problem that is Susan Ercity as Boof. We will finally elevate the legacy of Teen Wolf. And in the meantime, I need you to do one thing for me, and you know what it is. Stay tuned for the next exciting episode of Fanacek.